Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the Score Evening Show, weeknights 6 till 9 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Here's your host, Judson Richards.
We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Hi there, everybody. Judson Richards along with you all the way until 9 o'clock. I'll tell you this, Lance Brozdowski of the Marquee Sports Network will join us coming up at 6:25. We will dive heavily into the Cubs this opening segment, and we would like to ask you, because again, if it is just one game left, I don't know if you're ready to enjoy it, but let's make the most of it, right? Game 3 of the NLDS, we will have how many months? 5, 6, 7 months to dissect all the moves and what's coming next as of 2026. But here's what we would like to hear from you, at least the question on the table. By the way, I've been fortunate enough to do somewhat of a Cubs reaction. 3 of the 5 postseason games we've had this year, 2 of them in the wild card round, the other in the NLDS. It has been a lot of fun, the discourse of what we've been watching for this Cubs season, and I'd love to keep it going. 312-644-6767. If you have big picture topics of this Cubs team, let's dive into it. And I'll ask you this, with the potential of just one game left to go, the Cubs down 2 games to none, you get to make one change or decision to Wednesday's lineup or rotation. What would you do? Put your managerial hat on. 312-644-6767. What would you do? You get to make one change, one lineup decision, one roster move. I'd love to hear what it is. And as of now, the goal for the Cubs is very simple. They're promised a game on Wednesday. The goal is to try to play on Thursday. And then if you get to Thursday, then damn it, you just try to figure out how to play on Saturday. I know the odds, and I said it last night in the game, 89% of the time the team wins that goes up 2 games to none, yuck. Listen, you hear 89%, I hear 11%. You're telling me there's a chance. 312-644-6767. I'll also remind you right now, the NLDS continues tomorrow from Wrigley Field. Cubs host the Brewers for Game 3. Raheem Harrison Grody will be live from Gallagher Way from 10 to 2. Then Spiegelman Holmes take over from 2 to 3:30. The official pregame coverage begins at 3:30 with our first pitch at 4:08. Again, every local broadcast of Cubs playoff baseball can be heard on the Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. A lot of, by the way, the name perhaps mentioned the most in those Cubs post-posts, the Cubs reaction, has been manager Craig Counsell. And I don't know if it's my stages of grief as a sports fan, but very typically, when I feel frustration towards a manager or a coach, slowly it then turns to the players on the field. Like at some point we run into accountability of the players that we're watching. And there is a lot made of Counsell's contract. There's a lot made that he was or is the highest paid manager in Major League Baseball. He certainly is not the highest paid Cub. And common sense would tell you that's because he's not the most important guy. The most important ones are the ones who go ahead and take the field. So if I were to back up and give you my 30,000-foot look of what I'm seeing with this Cubs team, I would tell you this. First of all, Craig Counsell lost his best starting pitcher twice. Justin Steele to begin the season, and then Cade Horton right before the playoffs. The other, Pete Crow Armstrong and Kyle Tucker, after the All-Star break, virtually packed up their bats for the offseason. the starting center fielder and right fielder in the All-Star game basically have shut it down offensively since the All-Star break. 17 home runs was what Kyle Tucker had at the All-Star break. If you forget that three-game series in Anaheim, when he hit three home runs in two games, he would have hit two in the back half of the season. And then finally, you've got Jed Hoyer. You've got a president of baseball operations who punted on really going in and making an aggressive play for the rest of the season. You know, the biggest storyline, if the Padres would have beaten the Cubs, is the way that A.J. Preller would have approached it with Mason Miller and the moves that they made. A.J. Preller gave up eight top 30 picks to be aggressive. Now, you may say that was foolish because they're at home, but it may also make you feel a little bit different with where the Cubs are with their starting rotation. So I'm not saying that Craig Counsell doesn't deserve blame. I'm just saying there is plenty of company to go around. I will also offer this. The Cubs won 92 games and are in the National League Division Series for the first time since 2017. It's hard to enjoy that and bask in that when they've basically gotten slapped around by the Brewers in the first two games. 312-644-6767. Studs, can we hear from Craig Counsell? This is what Craig Counsell said today. Basically, with this team, that they have put themselves in this situation, and this is how they got to get out of it.
Oh, man. I mean, again, it's a lesson that athletes are taught every day, right? Is that you don't get a result you want, and what are you going to do about that result? How do you process it moving forward? It's kind of the same question, frankly. And it's part of it. There's no you're disappointed in results. All right, what's next? That's how you do it. And that's the best way to turn the page. Do you learn from a result? Do you go over the result and figure out what could I do better? What could I change? Could I have handled a situation differently? And then you start looking forward to the next moment. That's how we have to do it, and that's what this group does. That's what every team does. That's what great athletes do. And it's, you know, then you get into a battle tomorrow where the other side is going to try to kick your tail too. And so you got to be ready for the same things to happen. But part of being great at this is responding to the bad stuff and running towards it, man. That's part of this. And you can't be afraid of it. You got to look forward to it. It happens sometimes. We put ourselves in a hole this series, no question about it. We get to decide how the story ends.
Good line there, last couple seconds from Craig Counsell. That was him today getting set for the Cubs game tomorrow. 3:30, our pregame show begins right here on 6-7 The Score. Pat and Ron will have you, Carl and Zach, coming up at 4:08. Judson Richards along with you till 9 o'clock this evening. Let's get to some of these phone calls. The question we've been asking you, and if you want to react to what you've seen from the Cubs recently, that's fine. Go ahead, let's do it. But I'm also asking you, you get to make one change or decision to Wednesday's lineup or rotation for this Cubs team. What would it be? I've got one. I'll tell you what it is. It has to do with the guy who hits in the middle of the order. 312-644-6767. Mike in Morton Grove is hitting leadoff. Hey, Mike, what's going on? You're on the score.
Yeah, what's the name of that kid throwing 103, 104 miles per hour, Mizorak or something? If PCA
Jacob
goes up against him.
Yeah, Jacob Mizorowski.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would send PCA up there with no bat and see if that guy can throw three strikes.
I don't know what's funnier, Mike. Thank you. Was your pronunciation or your plan of attack?
Mizorak?
Yeah. I should have just gone with it. Listen, there's Kyle Tucker struggles, and then there's Pico Armstrong struggles. I don't know if you – I feel drastically different because Pico Armstrong, he's going to be around for a while for a Chicago Cub. Hopefully he really gets back to the first half player that he was, and it's for 10 or 12 years. Like Kyle Tucker, I'm just tired of watching it. PCA, it's like, come on, man. How can we figure this thing out? 23 years old. You know they're going to have a plan for him this offseason. But I don't know if him going to the plate without a bat is the best approach. But at times you feel like keep the bat on your shoulder instead of chasing pitches. And you may find yourself in a hitter's count one time because he swings at just about everything. 312-644-6767. Al is with us in South Florida. Al, what's going on? You're on the score.
Yeah, hi. The weather forecast for Chicago was known to everybody on Monday. So wouldn't Imanaga have been a better selection with the wind going in on Wednesday rather than having him play on having him pitch and start on Monday? Was there any conversation about that?
For Shota? In Milwaukee, or you're talking about obviously in Chicago because they have a roof in Milwaukee?
No. It was the fact that there was a 60-degree forecast for Chicago on Wednesday. Couldn't they have held him back and had him pitch with the home run ball that he seems to like to throw?
Oh.
Wouldn't he have been a better selection for Wednesday at Wrigley?
Al, I got you. That's a good point. Here's the thing. You're trying to hide one of the players that you're expecting to get you to the World Series or to get you through the playoffs, at least to the National League Championship Series, right? Like, Al, that's a good thought. It's not going to be as comfortable as it's been the last number of months in Chicago. We finally have gotten to the 60-degree area, and you're inside or at least somewhat in Milwaukee, so the ball may not travel as well. But, you know, remember, the case that a lot of people are making against Craig Counsell is that Colin Ray should have started or that Javier Assad should be active and he should start. If you think Colin Ray and Javier Assad are the answers to get you to the NLCS, I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona I'd love to sell you. Because it's just not going to do it. You cannot outmanage the roster that you have. You just can't. Justin Steele goes down, Cade Horton goes down, you don't make any big moves at the trade deadline, and this is the roster that you have. Do I agree with every move Craig Counsell made? Absolutely not. Do I think that the Milwaukee Brewers are a much better baseball team today? I do. Why? Because they have outright handled the Cubs in the first two games. 312-644-6767. John is with us in Huntley. Hey, John, what's going on? You're on the Score.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a point. It just seems like we have all these players and we don't have any passion. Like losing Justin Steele, that was a guy that when things were going wrong, he would get in the dugout, he'd throw his mitt, and he would be like, hey, let's effing go, right? And he would fire people up. And I understand, like, you know, we're all professional, we're all expected to give 110% all the time. And it seems like they almost take Craig Counsell's personality, and it's just very hoity-hum. And, you know, sometimes I think it's overlooked, but passion is a big deal. And I don't see anybody on this team being a vocal leader and just saying, you guys, let's get our head out of our rear side and let's make something happen. And it's just since the All-Star break, it just has not been the same team at all.
John, you know what? I don't totally disagree with you. What about PCA? What do you make of the way, even when his emotions are from outright anger and frustration, do you at least enjoy seeing that side of something?
I enjoy that he cares so much, but he's changed his entire at bats. You know, before he started hitting the long ball, he didn't even consider himself a long ball hitter. He was really just hitting for contact, and he would use his speed and, you know, make what would be a single for a lot of people a double. And I think he's gotten away from that, and he's just been swinging for fences. And it's not the player that he should be. I don't think he's going to be as effective that way. I think he needs to change it and go back to trying to play small ball, make good contact, and then take it from there. That's just my two cents. So thanks for taking my call.
John, you got to appreciate it. I don't know if there's a lot of people that would disagree with you. That they're not the fiery of a team. They're not the likes to fight team, if you will, or benches. I can't really think of one benches clearing situation for the Cubs. Listen, bad teams often clear benches too. So that's not a case to be made for a team that's going to win you games. But it is a veteran group, it is a mature group, and at times I've felt that a little bit as well. 312-644-6767. I've been asking you, you get to make one change or decision to Wednesday's lineup or rotation, what would it be? I've got big questions about the health of Kyle Tucker, I'll be honest. You know, I was, at the start of the wild card round, I was in defense of Kyle Tucker playing, even if it's only DH, even if it hamstrings the lineup a little bit, because of the career that he's had, because of the hitter that he is, right? But at some point, we have to ask ourselves, is he hurt, but can still be effective, or is he just outright injured? And is he operating at 70%? Like that's what I need to know about Kyre Tucker, because he's got three singles. I think he's hitting right around 200. There's nothing about it that seems to be like a legitimate fear with him at the plate. And then he can't run. So you've got no speed at all. He pulled a ball so much, he fouled it off his back knee. Like, he's hooking the ball so badly. And I don't know if I'd feel this strongly about it if he hasn't had the second half that he's had, where he's not an automatic out because he sees the ball well, right? Like, he can take a walk. He took a walk last night. At some point, it's like, is Moises Ballesteros more effective because he's 100% healthy and Kyle Tucker is playing injured instead of hurt? That Tucker will be in the lineup tomorrow. I'm not predicting anything. Like, I'm not crazy. I know who Craig Counsell is, but it seems like a legitimate question to me. It's like, are you hurt or are you injured? Let's go back to Pico Armstrong for a minute, because Craig Counsell did talk about Counsell or Pico Armstrong learning how to play and handle his emotions. Again, Craig Counsell did meet with the media today. Here he is on PCA.
I think we'd all consider Pete a pretty emotional player, and I think we'd all say that October ramps that up even more. And I think so. Those are great lessons for, I think, a player to learn. It's kind of like what it does to you. And you learn about how it helps you. And I think Pete's still learning, like, how emotion really helps him. How does it hurt me sometimes? And I think moments where it's heightened, even a better teacher for things like that. So I think Pete's, everybody goes through that too. Pete's not like unique to that, but everybody goes through it. And they're learning experiences, and they're great learning experiences for sure.
That's Craig Counsell on Pete Armstrong, the learning experiences he's going through. Lance Brozdowski at the Marquee Sports Network, one of the brightest Cubs minds. He will join us coming up at 6:25. We're just a few minutes away. Lance will join us. Let's duck in one more phone call. Tony is with us in Park Ridge. Hey, Tony, what's going on? You're on the Score.
Good. How you doing? Short term, what I would do is I'd drop Bush down in the 4 or 5 hole, move everybody else up. Even a little bit longer short term is, Jed let us down at the trade deadline. Everybody has to pay up, okay? Or overpay, I should say. He should have overpaid to get a starting pitcher, because look what happened. It just boxed Counsell into what he had to do as far as throwing those two guys out there. And the third thing is Tucker. He's been checked out since June, and he's not coming back. And he doesn't want to have anything to do with this franchise, and as Jed made the statement for him by not going for it at the trade deadline. You think he wants to play for a team like this? No. That's it.
Tony, thanks for the phone call. I certainly don't think Kyle Tucker has been checked out. Tucker is difficult to read because he is very much of an even keel individual. He doesn't show any highs or lows really at all. The problem is he hasn't been any good. I don't think he'd be back, and it seems like it would be some good experience for Moises Ballesteros. I don't expect
that. Bad.
Right? Thank you, Dan. That's it. And I think Moises, it would give him some experience, and there's injured, and then there's hurt. I think he's outright injured, and I think he gives you almost nothing. How does Jameson Taillon match up against the Brewers to try to send this thing to a game 4, the Marquise Lance Brozdowski joins us next. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Score.
We're open to whatever. I mean, just it's a read the game, and we understand that it's an elimination game, and that means you're not saving anything. So that it's not because our starters haven't gone long, we should just let them do it this game. It's what do we got to do to win the game? And that's how we'll think about it tomorrow.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
All right, that was Craig Council getting us set for tomorrow's game. Johnson Richards back here with you on 6-7 The Score. It will be Jameson Town. Again, our pregame coverage begins right here at 3:30 on The Score. First pitch at 4:08. Your only local broadcast of the game in Chicago. Let's talk to our next guest. He it's really, really good at getting deep inside the weeds and can also do the other stuff as well. Lance Brozdowski from the Marquee Sports Network, the player development analyst for Marquee. Lance, before we get to Jameson Tyon, let's begin with Shota Imanaga. What has happened to Shota? Because, again, like we're so hyper-focused on the playoffs, but we're going to expect him in this rotation next year for the Cubs as well. So what do you see from Shota?
Yeah, first off, thanks for having me. It's good to talk to you. I hope things are well. Shota's in a weird spot, I think, overall. I think heading into next year, I'm still pretty confident that he will have a very strong impact on this team. I think the main thing that really jumps out to me is really just as simple as the velocity on his fastball. Fastball velocity last year was like 92 miles per hour, and this year he's been below 91. And we saw in yesterday's outing as well, I noted on X that like the fastball velo fell off really hard as that game progressed. He was like above 92 in the first inning. And I know he gave up the Vaughn homer, you know, I didn't think that was that bad of a pitch. It was up, but it wasn't like a meatball over the plate. You jump to the second inning, he was more 91-ish. You go to the third inning, and he was below 90.5. So you're talking about like a 2-mile-per-hour drop-off in the four-seam velo. You know, if you're talking the difference between 90 to 93 miles per hour, you can generally shave somewhere around like 80 to 100 points of expected slug off that pitch as you jump up in velo. So he just has like zero margin for error in his mix when he's sitting at that low of a velocity band. And I think for the most part, that's really caught up with him in the postseason. I'm not entirely sure if it's a byproduct of something happening earlier with the hamstring, causing some like compensation movement pattern they weren't able to figure out. You know, I imagine we will hear something. I don't know. You want me to speculate? I hate speculating, but I wouldn't be totally stunned if you go into next season and you hear in spring, he's like, yeah, I was fighting something a bit last year after the hammy, and now I feel amazing, and I'm back to 92 plus, and wow, look at it, he's good again. So that's where I view it. I mean, it's a tough spot, and, you know, I don't necessarily know if they made the right call, but they made the right call based on the numbers they have. And for the most part, it seems like everybody on social media thinks they were incorrect.
Yeah, players, you know, players will tell you they're healthy. Sometimes the numbers will tell you otherwise. And Shota's kind of quick dip in velocity, I think, certainly tells us otherwise. Lance, Jameson Taillon, how well does he match up against the Brewers?
Yeah, I mean, this is a great question. I feel like the general theme of the postseason for the Cubs is one that is a fun one to think through. It's this general idea of just, okay, you have a large sample of player performance, which for the most part, most models that teams make decisions off of are based on. And then you have more recent performance, say in the last like month or 2 months, or you could even, you know, use some like rolling thing where it's like you're using portions of the entire year, but weighting what's happened recently more. A lot of the time, it's harder to take something that happened, say, in the last month and go, yes, absolutely, that is what will happen going forward. And I imagine most teams, as they figure out how to make decisions, you know, why bat Turner number one in the lineup and get him an AB versus Aaron Ashby when, you know, Michael Bush has been not great for left-handed pitching, but he hasn't been terrible in the last month or so. All these decisions, I think, just come down to how confident are you that something fundamentally changed to help you pull off your priors of understanding, you know, the entirety of this season Shota has been really good. The entirety of this season, Matt Boyd's been really good, et cetera. So with Taillon, it's a great example of that because for the most part, you know, his season on the whole looks pretty strong overall. Like his underlying peripheral suggests, you know, he's not striking out a ton of batters. He's given up more home runs than basically at any point in his career prior. But, you know, his results have been pretty good. Like, he has a 3.7-ish ERA, I think, on the season in, what is he got, like 125 innings or something along those lines. And if you look at September specifically, he's been really strong. And that's come on with the performance of the changeup that he added earlier this year. He adjusted it from the prior season. That's really helped him out in terms of kind of flattening out his splits versus left-handed hitters. So he's become more of like an even splits guy. You know, the underlying numbers would suggest there's a little bit of regression coming, that his ability to limit home runs, I think he's allowed maybe two in his last like six or seven starts. Maybe that reverts slightly, but he's your last hope here. Like, he's been the best pitcher for them in the postseason. So I don't know. I might buck the larger trend here and just go, you know, I'm running the hot hand on Tyone, and I have some confidence in him going into game three.
Joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline is the Marquise Lance Brozdowski. Download the Circa app today. Lance, what did the Cubs see from Colin Ray that make him so undesirable as a starter in the playoffs?
I think that's a really good question. This goes exactly back to what we were just talking about, where, and it's the same thing with Assad as well. Like, Assad is one of the most fascinating pitchers, I think, in all of baseball, particularly because his results over, what are, he's got like 300 innings in his career. He has incredible results. I think he's, let me check his career ERA. 3.43 career ERA in 331 innings is preposterous for a pitcher that I would imagine 80% of baseball fans that are not Chicago Cubs fans have any idea who this guy is. You know what I mean? And yet, the underlying data suggests that because he doesn't strike batters out, because he allows like a reasonable amount of home runs, and he's gotten pretty lucky with stranding runners and limiting ball in play, which you could attribute a bit perhaps to the defense and the Cubs' defense being really strong over the last couple of years, they think he should be pitching almost a full run higher than the 3.43 he's had. They suggest he's more like a 4.6 guy, just like bad. Like, it's not even like a major league starting pitcher on most teams. Probably not even major league starting pitcher on like the Pirates or something along those lines. He has basically taken any idea of data and thrown it away. Like, he's found a way to overperform. And I just think the Cubs don't believe that it would continue. And they're scared, I think, to some extent, that if you put him in more of a leveraged spot, you know, if it reverts at this moment in time, then they look like dummies, because, you know, they knew the underlying data suggested he's not as good as a 3-4 pitcher. And yet, you know, at the end of the day, maybe he is, you know. Now, I won't entirely put it on that. Perhaps there's something, you know, on the underlying data of velo or how he's moving or movement patterns, et cetera, that they see using more like advanced info than we're able to get publicly. But I think that this postseason has signaled to you, or us as fans and anybody as fans, that the Cubs very much are aligned from like a, we look at large samples of information and, you know, and what that underlying data should suggest. We're trying to look at things that are very predictive. And I think sometimes, especially for someone who watches, you know, say, let's say you're a fan and you watch like maybe 80 to 100 Cub games a year, like, this is weird. Like, it's weird because every time you see Assad go out there, he's good. And every time you see Colin Ray go out there in September, he's been fantastic. So it creates some issue when you're not, what you're seeing is not lining up with the decisions the Cubs are making.
He is Lance Brozdowski of the Marquee Sports Network. He is their player development analyst, which if you shorten it as PDA, which means something totally different.
I've never thought of that.
No one has said that to you? Lance, the guy in charge of PDA?
Never told me that. That's so funny.
We may have to rethink that title of yours,
Lance.
I know. All right, speaking of rethinking, heading into the Padres series, I talked to Cubs fans on the Score, I think maybe the day after, and a lot of them were just tired of watching Kyle Tucker. And I made the case, Tucker's career numbers are good enough where you keep putting him out there. Like, you do not want to make a decision that would make Mike Schilt celebrate. I'm done watching Kyle Tucker. I think he is just, there is hurt, as we know, Lance, as sports fans. There is hurt and there is injured. Injured, you're hurting your team. Hurt, you are still effective. To me, I just think he's a guy who's going out there because I think Kyle Tucker wants to play. I don't think he's serving the team the best. Have you seen any numbers on what Tucker's looking like at the plate?
I mean, he's still not really ripping off the top-end bat speeds that he had in April and May. And I know Eno Saris of The Athletic is one of my favorite analysts out there on the public side for baseball and the national side. He does a really good job. And he pointed this out a while ago, and it's always stuck with me. I think he did some like historic research where he looked back at like some players who said they were injured in season, but you don't find out until postseason or the next year. And a lot of the time, what you find is like a bat speed dip. So if a guy ticks down, you know, 1 or 2 miles per hour in bat speed, so average bat speed in baseball is right around like 71 miles per hour. So say you're you're swinging 71 your entire life. You know, you're a good hitter, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden you hit a month and you see that this guy in this entire month in a decent sample is now swinging at, say, like 68 or 69 miles per hour. Like, that is a considerable drop and one that will 100% impact your performance relatively significantly. And Tucker kind of bounced back in, let's say, like August, late August, I think it was. I think it was when they were out in Los Angeles.
In Anaheim.
The Angels,
he bounced back in Anaheim. That was his one bounce back.
Yep. And that, to me, I was like, okay, like, the bat speed's coming back up. Like, maybe this now suggests going forward he's gotten over some of the issues that maybe had been ailing him. But in the postseason, it's kind of the same. Like, we're not seeing the April and May swing speeds. And I think the big thing that I've noticed is, like, during the season when he had this hand thing he played through, what happened is that he just didn't swing outside of the zone. He was like, listen, I am just going to walk a ton.
Right.
And as a result of that, he was somewhat valuable. He wasn't like the impact bat we saw in April and May, but I would take like a 380 OBP guy anywhere in my lineup, even if he's only hitting 230, you know what I mean? With limited power.
It'd be nice if he could run, though.
Some value. I know. That does definitely just take away a lot of it. What you're seeing now is like the OBP is down because I think teams are realizing he doesn't have that same bat speed, such that you're just ripping him fastballs in the zone, and you're like, oh, okay, cool, catch up to it. And he's like, I can't, actually. I'm injured. So
exactly.
It's a tough situation, man. Like, I get all the you have to think of all the incentives here. Like, if I'm Kyle Tucker, unless my leg is broken in half, like, I'm on that field because I'm about to go into contract negotiations where everyone is going to ask me, like, how I'm feeling.
And but he's not helping himself by doing that, right?
That's fair. But do you think there's some advantage to him just being like, listen, I was out there. I'm a grinder. Like, look at me. I played 2 months and was still able to put up a 380 OBP. And, like, that's better than 99% of your lineup talking to some other teams.
I don't.
Like, I think there's some
I don't because I think he has
him.
A good reputation.
Yeah. And I struggle with, like, if you're the Cubs and you sit him, you know what I mean, in the CS, like, how does his agent just not take a meeting with you and take a meeting with you in the off season for negotiation?
You're right.
You know,
you're right.
That's really what might be it at the end of the day. It might just be that.
I'm just tired of watching it. Because first of all, like, you couldn't teach his swing. He bars his back arm or his front arm. His front knee collapses. But he's that naturally gifted. But to watch him wrap a ball, to pull it off of his back knee, it was impressive. And at the same time, like, I can't watch this guy just roll over balls and limp his way down to first base anymore. Lance, last one for you.
Yep.
Because I feel very differently about Pico Armstrong. It's like, because I know he's going to be a Cub hopefully for a long, long time. So it's like, let's figure this thing out. What are you seeing from PCA, especially from what we saw first half to now the second half?
Yeah, it's somewhat unfortunate, but, you know, early in the year, the big thing we were pointing out was like, man, look at how well he has produced on balls outside of the strike zone. So he's chasing that a ton, and he's still doing a ton of damage. I think in the middle of May, or maybe it was even early June, he had the most barrels outside of the strike zone next to guys like Pete Alonso and some others. And a lot of it was, like, below the zone. Like, there was multiple balls he would clip below the zone. And you're like, whoa. Like, there's no one in the league making contact on those pitches. So we're like, okay, we think this will regress a bit. Like, you can't chase this much and be this productive. You know, this is, like, really extreme territory where there are not a lot of good hitters. He actually cut a lot of his chase as the year went on. And the problem was, like, some of those barrels and slug fell off as well to the point where, like, he hasn't been as productive since, like, August or so. And I think that's... it's probably just growing pains, but I think if you zoom way out and look like directionally at the trajectory of his career, it's moving in the proper direction. It's just running into these speed bumps with it at really inopportune times when, like, September, you basically only had Michael Bush in the lineup hitting and Ian Happ hitting. You know, you need Tuck, you need Suzuki, you need PCA hitting, and it's tough. Like, I guess Horner was definitely hitting in September as well, just not too much power production. But, like, it's just unfortunate that he's run into what I think are correct adjustments. Like, he's contracted his chase, which is really good, really strong sign that maybe he runs, like, a higher OBP next year and can get up to, like, 310, 300-ish, which would be, like, a 20-30-point jump over what he is this season. So, I mean, I still 100% have confidence in this kid long term. Like, I think that the rapid pace at which he has made adjustments already in the majors is a sign of good things to come. We're just in an unfortunate part where, like, he's young, the league is adjusting to him, and I think with these young guys, it sometimes takes some time to adjust back, And we are unfortunately running into that adjustment back at a very pivotal time for the Cubs offense, where out of the first inning in the last two games, they basically haven't scored a run. They probably have like two or three hits, right? So I don't think you could put it all on Pete, though, right? Like, you knew going into the postseason this kid was young. He was going to get blitzed by velocity. Velo jumps in the postseason. Like, the rest of the lineup's got to hit. Like, it's not Pete's fault this team's not hitting. It's a variety of the other pieces. So I remain incredibly bullish on Pete. And maybe it's been frustrating to watch, you know, but I see no issue going into next year projecting him as another guy who, you know, could get like down ballot or even mid ballot MVP votes just because of the defensive value he brings.
He is Lance Brozdowski from the Marquee Sports Network. Lance, we'll be watching tomorrow, and what we're hoping for tomorrow is simply let's try to get to Thursday, right? And you get to Thursday, then you try to get to Saturday. Thanks so much for all the good stuff tonight, Lance.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a ton. Looking forward to game three.
Enjoyed it. Lance Brozdowski, Marquee Sports Network. Follow him. A lot of really, really smart Cubs coverage. Let's get back to this. We've been asking you, and we'll return to the phone calls, 312-644-6767. You get to make one change or decision to tomorrow's lineup or rotation. What would you do? 312-644-6767. Also, were the Brewers stealing signs or just finding any way to win? And would you like to see the Cubs do what the Brewers were doing? We'll talk about it next on 6M of the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's a high fly ball to left field. Hap underneath it in front of the wall. This ball's gone! Andrew Vaughn ties the game with one swing. He's done it again.
That was the Andrew Vaughn home run last night against the Cubs as the Brewers win game two. Judson Richards back here with you on 6-7 The Score, going with you all the way until 9 o'clock this evening. We'll get to these phone calls in just a moment. That was, you know, if there was ever an old adage in baseball, one of the oldest adages in baseball is when your offense put up some runs, starting pitcher, go out there, get you back in the inning as quick as possible. I mean, that's one of the most deflating home runs maybe in the history of the Chicago Cubs. And I know that's saying a lot. And it's bizarre that it's Andrew Vaughn, who was not a Cub, but we certainly know his name in Chicago. Like, that guy, I mean, he was thrown away. One man's trash is another man's treasure. And then it felt like it came down to power arms. How about this stat? This from J.J. Cooper of Baseball America. He said on Twitter, "We just finished the fourth inning of the Cubs-Brewers game. This game has had 35 100-mile-per-hour pitches. That's more than were thrown in the 08, 09, or 10 postseasons in one game." I mean, it was like Mizorowski came in through 104 miles per hour, and it felt rather normal since Mason Miller did it in the previous series. Is this where we are? Are we just hanging out at 104, 103 miles per hour? We don't really bat an eye. It's like, okay, like this is today's game of baseball. Well, that's what the Brewers had coming out. It made Daniel Palencia's 100 miles kind of boring. I mean, hitting triple digits, yeah, it's impressive. It's not like shocking like it used to be. 312-644-6767. We've been asking you, you get to make one change, one major decision for tomorrow's lineup. What's it going to be? Mike is with us in Milwaukee on 6-7 The Score. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Before we get going on anything, let me say this. I've been a Cubs fan my whole life. Of course, I love the Brewers more, but I go back to the Milwaukee Braves, and I remember seeing the Cubs playing and the Stars, unbelievable. And when the Braves left, I just lived Cubs. I had, Lou Boudreaux on the radio. He didn't have a great voice, but he was smart and he was excellent, and I loved him. And when you guys lost in 69, I almost lost it. You know, I mean, it was like, what's going on here, you guys? But this is not 69. I think it's a little different now. We have yesterday, by the way, if there was a change, I would have started Rhea. Or maybe somebody else. But, Ema doesn't, he just isn't pitching good.
He's not
pitching good.
No.
And that's Craig Counsell for you. You know, well, he's supposed to pitch good, and that's his job. And then I'm surprised he yanked him out, because here in Milwaukee, a lot of people are like me, were just pleased as you can be to get rid of that clown. And I,
Mike, let me ask you, what did you make of Pat Murphy's decision to start Aaron Ashby, who gave him three runs in the first inning? Was that a brilliant move?
I didn't like that because Ashby was a starter and he was mediocre. But when he's come on as a reliever, he's unbelievable. I mean, the guy is almost unhittable.
Mike, thanks for the phone call. Again, the reason why I asked that question is because as much as we want to live and die by every starting pitcher in this series for the Cubs, they got to score some runs. I mean, they haven't scored runs really in the playoffs since 2017. The Cubs now have 13 straight postseason games scoring three runs or less.
That doesn't make any sense. I saw that this morning. I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
It's wild.
Because that's through multiple, obviously 2017 is a completely different team, a different president of baseball ops. Jed Hoyer's still in the building, but Theo's running the show. From then to now, to still not have, it's just a wild. That's wild.
I'm not a math major, but it seems to me, if you haven't scored three runs or more, that means that you only have had one crooked number put up in an inning. You can't have multiple crooked numbers not add up to more than three. Even my little brain can figure that one out. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Fred in Elgin. Fred, what's going on? You're on the Score.
Okay, well, one change I would make, and a lot of people are going to say I'm totally nuts, okay? But I'll back up what I have to say.
All right.
The one change I would pay, there's a 90% chance the Cubs are going to be eliminated either this next game or the one after. If they want to change those odds, I think they need to sit down with PCA and give him a special project like they did when Ian Happ was on the disabled list. Let him lead off and cause havoc. Get him to start shortening his swing and spray the ball a little bit. When he gets on, he could totally destroy the other team's concentration. Think of Dexter Fowler in 2016. Without him, we don't go to the World Series, much less win it. And you get it now. He may not be totally successful, but look at the numbers when he was leading off. And then they brought the Ian Happ back and put him back in and bounced him down. When you bet PCA, a young guy, in fourth or fifth position, what's he supposed to do? He's trying to hit the ball out of the park. We don't want him to do that. We want him to make use of all his tools. This guy's going to maybe someday go to the Hall of Fame. He's going to be a good baseball player, maybe a great one.
Fred, thanks for the call. Yeah, no, I listen, sorry, we're up against it, Fred. But the problem is PCA, in his 18 postseason at-bats, he has 10 strikeouts. He struck out 10 times in 18 at-bats. And his approach, Fred, whether it's hitting 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, or leadoff, should be to put the ball in play hard. And he can't do that right now. He cannot, whether it's his approach, whether it's just the way they're pitching him, and he hasn't been able to figure it out and then kind of recorrect off of what the correction they made from his first half of the season, he is striking out way too much to hit leadoff. But I enjoy the outside-the-box thinking. 312-644-6767. Coming up next, what are the Brewers' plan for the Cubs in Game 3? We'll dive into tomorrow's matchup with Sparky Pfeiffer from The Fan in Milwaukee. That's coming up next. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.